And so I grew up hearing a lot of worship music. And my mother would tell a story about how when she was pregnant with me, she put her hand on her belly and say, "This one will sing."
There are sometimes worship could become so transactional that it's all about, I'm trying to get something from God. So it's almost like, God, I'll worship you, but you got to do this for me. And if you don't do it, then I'm going to think about my relationship with you because mm-hmm. I don't think you're that. When it comes to worship, you don't attempt to move the room. You move his heart.
Yes.
And then he moves the room.
That's the light.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Dappy Tiki is here. Welcome to another episode of the Worship Well podcast. You know what? This is a very special episode to me. And you know why it's so special? It's because I'm right now in Lagos, Nigeria. And I thought to myself, why come all the way to Lagos, Nigeria and not do a podcast while I'm here? And so I started looking around to see who I can actually get to sit with me to have a chat about worship and how we can keep growing. Welcome with me, the Associate Senior Pastor of the Fountain of Life Church, Lagos, Nigeria, Pastor Toluwani Odukoya.
Yay! Welcome,
yeah, myself. You know, yeah, let's give her a round
you.
Of applause.
It's such an honor to be here.
Thank you for saying yes to doing this.
Such
you know,
an honor to be here.
Like I was saying to you earlier, you've never met me, but you said yes to do a podcast with me.
You have been a big blessing to me.
That means you're a woman of faith. Because it takes great faith. Because you don't know what I'm going to say. You don't know how I'm going to say.
No, I think
you're
we
like,
have.
You know what? I'm going to take the risk.
Kindred spirits. Your worship. That your worship. You don't understand what it does.
No,
there's such an anointing when you play.
No.
And so I couldn't but be here.
No, thank you. Thank you. It means
thank
a lot to me. Thank
me.
You for doing this with me. I know we've been fans of each other for a long time.
Very
and
long time.
It's so great to be able to sit together and have a chat. So
too.
To kick things off. Yeah. For those who don't know who you are, and I'm actually one of those, I'm trying to get to know you as well. So would you please do us the honor of just telling us a little bit about who you are? Who is Pastor Tolu?
Wow.
Odukoya?
That's a broad question.
Yeah, I know it is.
First of all, I'm a child of God.
Yes.
I think I am one of his favorite children. I think he loves me specially.
Just you? No, I don't believe that. But
but yeah, well, I'm a child of God.
Yeah.
I'm a mother. Mm-hmm. I'm a pastor, and I'm a woman who truly loves the things of God, and I am honored, you know, when I think about my current position. I'm very humbled to be a servant of God, and when I look at my life and see what God has done, mm-hmm. It brings me to a place of humility.
Yeah.
So nothing that I am today can I say I have achieved or done by my own strength or merit. Mm-hmm. I know that it has truly been the grace of God. So I'm a child of grace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a child of grace, and I'm favored of God. I'm loved by God, and I'm mm-hmm. so glad that he would choose to use me.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I know you're also a worship leader, you're a worship
yes.
minister, you're a worship pastor, all that. And you're
yes.
also an amazing singer.
Oh, thank you.
We cannot leave that out. But let me start by, what does worship mean to you?
So growing up in the house of Taiwan Bimbo Odukoya, I think that's because, you know, people don't understand the how important as a parent, how your life models life to your children.
Hmm.
So I remember from a very young age waking up and it's just worship playing in the house. It's worship music.
Mm-hmm.
The TV was on, it was TBN, it was the Gaither family.
Mm-hmm.
CC Winans, BB Winans. It's just always worship in
yeah,
my house.
Yeah.
And so I grew up hearing a lot of worship music. And my mother would tell a story about how when she was pregnant with me, she put her hand on her belly and say, "This one will sing."
Ooh.
So at that time, she was a backup singer for Carol Breedy back in the day. And they'll go out to minister, and she was pregnant. And that's why my first name is Caroline.
Wow.
And so she said she'll always put her hand on her belly and say, "This one will sing. This one will sing for Jesus. This one will minister." So from a very young age, I started singing. And when I look back, I feel like, you know, when God deposits something in you, there must be a pulling or there must be an activation of it.
Yeah.
And being a PK from age, I think I was 7 when my parents started the church, my mother would put me on the altar to sing. And I didn't think I could sing.
Wow.
But because she had prophesied that I would sing,
mm-hmm.
she was literally just pulling that out of me. You're going to sing.
Wow.
So,
wow.
you know, I would just sing the best that I could and I mm-hmm. would practice. But when I understood what worship was, when I began to really sing, and I really felt like, okay, I had a gift, and I would, mm-hmm. you know, listen to Mariah Carey and listen to Whitney Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was called to do solos with the choir, I would sing. I knew I was singing.
Yeah.
I mean, technically,
yeah. Yeah.
I was singing on point. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And my mother would look at me and just shake her head and say, what are you doing? Because everybody else is impressed by me because I'm singing well.
But she wasn't.
But she wasn't. And I'll come off the altar and she would say, that was in the flesh. That was not, you were not singing to God. You were in the flesh.
Oh, wow.
And so I started to understand that it wasn't about how good I sounded. It was about where my heart was when I would sing.
Yes.
And then there were times when, you know, she'd just call me randomly up to sing. And obviously I didn't want to sing because I was young. She put me on the spot. Why is she doing this? And one Sunday morning, we'd woken up and she said, Tulu, you're going to sing this morning. And I didn't have a voice. I had a bad cold. And I thought, this mom wants to embarrass me. Like, mommy, you know, I can't even speak. And you're telling me I should come to church to sing. Why would you do that?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that morning I was praying and I said, God, help me. My mother's trying to embarrass me. What am I going to do? And I heard the Holy Spirit tell me. He said, when you get on the stage, imagine that I'm the diamond in the room and you're the light. Okay. If you shine your light on me, the light gets everywhere. But if you shine it on one side, it only gets to one side. He says, so when you get on the altar, focus on me. When you focus on me, it gets everywhere. I was about 13 or 14. I said, okay. And from that moment, every time I step on the altar, I focus on him. Because when you focus on him, it gets everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is incredible. You know, and I totally agree with that. I agree with the fact that worship is meant to be it's meant to be vertical, not just horizontal.
Yeah.
Not looking everywhere else, but up here.
Yeah.
And like you've done that so well over the years that has actually guided how you lead worship, and no doubt the impact is there when you do lead worship. Mm-hmm. And I also admire the way your mom actually, you know, even though you thought she was trying to embarrass you, but she was pulling something out of
she
you.
Was.
That is parenting 101.
Yes,
wow,
she was. I mean, she would always, and every time I would sing back in the day, I would always look at her face to just know, am I in the spirit or am I in the flesh?
Yeah,
and you could just tell. She just said that. Mm-hmm. And there were times when I knew I was singing.
Right.
But she was very unimpressed by it.
Yeah.
She said, totally, you're in the flesh.
Wow.
That's the flesh. That's not the spirit.
So when would you say you consciously knew that you were called into the ministry of worship? Because I say to people, I think it has to be a calling. Yes. It's not meant for everybody.
It's not.
You can be a great singer, an amazing artist, but you... Not everybody can be a worship leader.
True.
or lead people into the presence of God. I think it's a special call. You have to be graced for that.
Yeah.
So when would you say you actually knew? When was that time that?
It was 2017.
Yeah.
Okay. When I became the head of the worship team, dad's worship team.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a bit controversial because, you know, being a PK, you know, when your father or your mother puts you in a position, people think that it was because you're the pastor's daughter and they're putting you there. But, when I started leading worship with the team, there was such a shift in the, like, nobody could deny that this was God. It was almost like there was a shift in the worship. There was a shift in the church. There was a shift in the sound. They knew that, no, this.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it. Mm-hmm. Like, I could feel it. And I felt like, God was just validating, you know, my position.
Mm-hmm.
And I started being very, very intentional about that.
Mm-hmm.
Praying more, listening more.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tell our worship singers, every time I go for rehearsal, there is nothing like rehearsing worship. Bible says when two or three are gathered, he is there.
Mm-hmm.
So every time we come together, whether we're rehearsing, the presence is there. So you don't rehearse worship. Worship is what we do.
Yes.
So when there is an understanding of that, every time we open our mouths and we gather, we understand that he is there and the presence of God is there and everything we do is focused on that.
Mm.
So I'll say 2017 was when I knew that, this is
what I'm meant to do. So you don't rehearse worship.
No, you don't. Worship is what we do. You don't rehearse presence of God. Once we start to sing, he's there. You know? So when you're at rehearsal, you're just singing. You have to sing with an understanding and sing with a knowing that he's here.
Yeah.
And anything can happen in that atmosphere.
Yeah.
And you know, we worship from an overflow.
Yeah, right. So you got to be doing it at home. Like,
and then
the
you can't
to,
lead people to where you've never been.
You can't just show up and say,
you know what I'm saying? You can't just conjure the presence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It has to be something that you do and you're used to, or you, a place you normally would go to.
Yeah.
Because you can't take people to where you've never been.
Absolutely. And then, like, the story of Jesus with the woman at the well. And it was saying that, you know, that God is seeking true worshipers, who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And I tell people, the Bible didn't say God was seeking worship.
Hmm.
It was after the person.
Worshippers,
it was after the person first.
Hmm.
And so the person has to be right to bring the right worship.
Yeah.
And that's what you're talking about. You don't rehearse worship. It's who you are. It's what you do. So if you don't do it behind closed doors, don't expect something miraculous. Or try to make noise and spin around and speak in tongues and think that would bring something down, right?
You're right.
And that's, I mean, and that's so encouraging because that then goes back to the topic of having a lifestyle of a worshiper.
Yeah.
That's beyond the stage, beyond the lights, beyond the pulpit, beyond the, you know, everybody, you know, the Instagram.
Yeah.
It's like actually living. So when you said you, that was when you came into the consciousness of, you know, you've been called into this ministry.
Yeah.
I know, you know, without a doubt, there's a weight and responsibility that come with that office.
Of course.
How have you been able to handle that weight and the responsibility of doing that?
You know, I realized that it's not for me to carry.
There you go.
The Bible says he will not give you more than you can bear. Mm-hmm. So there is a capacity. And every time, for example, when I got called to be the associate senior pastor, I was like, Father, me, Lord, how far now? But then I realized it's already in there.
Yeah.
If God is calling for something out of you, it's because he's put it there already.
Yes.
But one thing I also understand about worship is that there must be a crushing. You see, there's a depth you get to that that unlocks, almost like the olive oil, right?
Yeah.
There is a crushing that unlocks a depth in worship. And in my life experiences, I've come to see God and choose to worship him regardless of how I feel. And most times as Christians, it's very, very transactional. We worship him because of who he is and what he can do for us. Well, what if he doesn't do it? Would you still worship him? And we also understand that worship is can be anything. Anything that takes your attention, anything that takes your devotion is worship. Your phone is worship. Your social media is worship. And, you know, when you choose to take that attention, because people don't understand the value of attention. Attention is a high currency.
Yeah.
Once somebody gets your attention, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And when you choose to take that attention and give it to God, then there's an opening. I can't explain it, but he then comes down in his glory and his majesty because he sees that that's true, that's real, that's authentic.
I mean, if someone... I think there are very few more qualified people to talk about crushing than you. You've been through it.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm privy to some of those things. And like you said, there are sometimes worship could become so transactional that it's all about I'm trying to get something from God. So it's almost like, God, I'll worship you, but you got to do this for me. And if you don't do it, then I'm going to think about my relationship with you because I don't think you're that. You're not the good God that you claim to be.
Yeah.
And I think there are some people out there that they're probably going through a crushing moment as well.
Yeah.
Maybe they've been through some tragedy in recent times and they're struggling to worship. They're really struggling to comprehend the goodness of God in the midst of the mess. Because how can God be good and allow all these things to happen? And sometimes that can affect our worship and the ability to worship.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, how were you able to handle those moments of crushing and tragedy and death and things that... No, they're just life happening that you can't really make sense of happening to you when you serve a good God. How have you been able to handle that?
First of all, people know of God and they don't know God. And I was talking about it in church the other day. I said, you might know my house address, but you've never been there.
Gotcha.
We have a lot of Christians today who know of God. They know, oh, God is a healer. God is a provider. God is a... But they've never experienced that side of him. If you don't know him, when the winds come and the rains come, it will shake your foundation.
Yes.
And growing up, I lost my mother when I was 20. And I remember, because she was going to minister and she died in a plane crash. And I couldn't understand it. My young mind couldn't comprehend it. But one thing I did was I just left. It was C.C. Winans' Throne Room. That was the album.
I love that album.
I love that album.
Yeah.
I just left it playing in my room on repeat. And now in retrospect, I realize that I just left my atmosphere saturated by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because there was so much going on in my mind, but I just needed the atmosphere to just be infused by the Holy Ghost because I felt that was going to calm me some kind of way, and it did. And in those times, you don't run away from God, you yes. run to God.
Yes, yes.
And the Bible says you don't have a high priest who doesn't understand. Mm-hmm. So even more than your feeling, he knows, he sees, nothing takes him by surprise. He knew this time was going to happen yes. in your life. So go back to him and say, God, I'm in pain. I don't understand. I need you to help me make sense of this, or just help me get through this. Because mm-hmm. there is nothing and there's no one else. Yes. So what I do when I go through hard times, I just mm-hmm. go to God and say, God, help me. Mm-hmm. I'm in pain. Mm-hmm. You see, I had a great relationship with my dad, and I think that helped me understand my father relationship.
Right, gotcha.
When anything was going on with me, I'll go to my dad and say, Dad, I'm not happy. Mm-hmm. This and this is happening. He says, mm-hmm. calm down.
Yes.
Everything is going to be okay.
Yes, yes.
Even if he doesn't tell me how I'm going to get out of it, mm-hmm. but because he's told me it's going to be okay, mm-hmm. I trust him because mm-hmm. I know he loves me mm-hmm. and he's, you know, more mature and more, he's seen life a lot more experienced. Mm-hmm. I believe it's going to be okay.
Right.
Same with God. I might not understand what he's doing because I know he loves me. Mm-hmm. He knew me. He formed me. He called me. So therefore, I trust him that he will get me out of this. Now, I don't know how, mm-hmm. but because he created the system, mm-hmm. he will get me out of it. So mm-hmm. I go to him and say, God, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm sad. Mm-hmm. I love you still. Mm-hmm. I don't understand mm-hmm. it, but I trust you.
Yes.
Help me.
Yes.
And I'll be honest, God has shown himself to mm-hmm. me in yes. ways that I cannot understand.
Yes, yes.
I was talking to an aunt of mine 2 days ago, and I said, you know what I realize about God? When the word of God has gone forth, mm-hmm. when the seed has gone forth, it will produce in your absence or your presence. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There are things my parents said, things that they have done, that in their absence, mm-hmm. it is still producing.
Yeah, fruit,
and
yeah.
that shows who God is. He mm-hmm. is faithful to his word.
Yes.
So no matter the circumstance, has God said something? Mm-hmm. Has he told you something? Has there a word been spoken over you? Mm-hmm. Hold on to that word
yes.
and see God performing. That's yes. who he is.
And so, I think the key thing that I heard in what you just said is the fact that knowledge of God is key.
You need to know him.
And people need to get, someone's like being invited into that journey of knowing God.
You have to know God.
Because like you say, you can know about God and not really know God.
Yes.
I went through a similar season in my life. I think it was around 2015, 2016, 2017. Things were very rough. Like it was the lowest of the lowest of my life. Hmm. And I remember I couldn't even bring myself to worship. I couldn't. And even though I'm a worshiper at heart, I couldn't bring myself. And the only song that was ringing in my head and during that time was this Dumb Well song I would sing. And the lyrics actually said, Lord, you seem so far away.
Wow.
A million miles it feels today.
Hmm.
I said, even though I've not lost the faith, but I must confess, it's hard for me to praise you right now. Say, I don't know how you're gonna do it. I don't know where to start. But as you give the grace with all that's in my heart, I will sing.
Yes.
And I'm just saying that to affirm that, yeah, you may be in a very tough situation right now. It's hard to praise God. It's really tough. I get it. You're going through a tough time. But God is still God.
He's God.
And even if you cannot mutter the words, you cannot bring yourself to worship, you can still, in that moment, like she was saying, that she actually was saturating her room with, you know, with her favorite album. So even if you can't sing, you know, let others lead you in the worship in those seasons of your life.
Yes.
And then once you get out of that, maybe you cannot bring yourself to actually not offer your own worship.
Yes.
But don't stop worshiping.
Don't stop worshiping.
The next thing I wanted to ask is, because there is this authenticity that comes with your worship. You share this little Instagram snippets. And I'm like, why 1,000 people were sharing this? Like, seriously. but I get it. I get it because there's a sincerity. There is, it is authentic. You know, there is that depth in there. How do you do that?
I love God. I would do it like that in my bedroom when there's nobody watching me.
Yes.
Because I just love him. Hmm. I've been through very dark seasons, but I've also seen his light shine so brightly in those seasons.
Yes.
And I've experienced God in a way that nobody understands. So my worship is like my own oil, my perfume, my own alabaster box. So every time I stand on that altar, it's not about who's looking at me. It's about what I'm offering to him. It's my own time. It's almost like everybody's watching me worship. I remember I went to go sing at a church one time and I said, everybody worship your worshipu. Don't be looking at me. I'm worshiping my own worship. So it's my own time to give my own Father, my Savior, my own perfume of worship. And also, it's an honor for him to get me to lead his people. You see, when you understand what ministry is about, that God will choose you to shepherd the souls of men alongside him. There's a humility that comes, the heaviness that comes with it.
Yes.
Because he can choose anybody. It's as if you don't sing, the stones will cry out.
Absolutely,
it's not 100%. About you. Mm-hmm. It's about his worship.
Yes.
And that God will put you in that position to lead his people, that's huge. So even understanding what that entails, understanding how much he trusts you to do that,
yeah,
it's humbling. Mm-hmm. So I find it very, very humbling. And my thing, in fact, sometimes in church recently, I say all these drums, all the bagua, it's too, see, I don't want, can the voices just sing? Can
yes,
I just hear the voices
that's
sing?
Me.
You know, yes. The voices, is. Yeah. I mean, it's good to have the whole syncopation mm-hmm. and everything.
Yeah,
I love it.
Make a joyful noise.
But sometimes, mm-hmm. can we just hear the hearts?
Strip it back.
Just sing. Because mm-hmm. that's what it's about, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. that's what gives me fulfillment.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, sometimes you just have to strip it back.
Yeah.
To what it is all about and refocus our attention. Because sometimes in churches, we can hide behind the music.
Yes.
You know, we can hide behind all the noise. I mean, I love good music. I'm a musician myself.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think we can actually not allow the congregation to actually have a moment to connect with their Father.
Yes.
And I think it goes back to what you said earlier at the beginning, that when God told you, if you shine the light on the diamond, it fills every space.
Yes.
And just keeping your focus on him and just letting him do the rest. And
yes.
And just let people connect to that, you know, to that sincerity of your worship. Like
yeah.
you're not actually worshiping for them.
Mm-mm.
You know, you're actually just worshiping because, like you said, you do it, you love God.
Yeah.
So there's a love of God there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something that somebody had told me, that worship is not about you.
Mm.
It's not about you. And when we make worship about ourselves, and I think I've even shared in one of my videos that
yeah.
we will lose the heart of worship
mm.
the moment we start making it about nothing else but Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything that takes the place of God in your life is idolatry.
Yep.
You know, and Jesus said, and the Bible says that, not Jesus, but the Bible says, beware of idols.
Mm.
Like little children, beware of idols.
Mm.
And idols is actually, you know, we might think, okay, yeah, I don't worship idols anymore. Because
mm-hmm.
you know, back in those days, you're probably pouring
one
something on something
somewhere
in the corner of
yeah.
your room. But right now, anything could be our idol. It could
teach
be your phone,
attention.
It could be social
yeah.
media, it could be fame, it could be, you know, influence, it could
yes.
be whatever, popularity, whatever
yes.
it is. And really, those things, once they begin to take the place of Jesus in our lives, then it becomes an idol.
Yeah.
And then they take our eyes off of him.
Yeah.
And sometimes during worship, what we've got to do well is to refocus people's attention.
Back to him.
Because you know what? We live in a very distracted times. You know that. I mean, sometimes I pick up my phone. I can't remember why I picked it up.
And you're on there for a while. Talk about
I'm like, I can't remember. And I'm like, okay, why did I pick up this phone? Then I drop it again. Then I remember and I pick it up again and end up on Instagram. I'm like, why am I doing this? So we have so much distraction.
There
some
is.
Things that will take our attention, our hearts away from,
yeah,
from being solely focused on God.
Mm.
And I think we have a responsibility as worship leaders, as people who lead people in worship, to often and regularly refocus the attention of people and just bring people back.
I agree.
How have you been able to do that when you lead worship?
It's always about the posture of my heart.
Okay.
You see, I think when you're gifted is a problem.
No,
seriously.
Repeat. When you are gifted, it's a problem.
It's a problem.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because you can lean on your flesh.
Mm.
You don't need the spirit
for
that.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
It's to sing. And you know, also when you grew up in church as well, you understand Christianese.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tongue that you can speak. There's a chord that can be played that looks like
holy chords.
Mm.
Minor chords.
I understand. You know, and then it's baba. And what is your heart posture?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I always check my heart.
Mm, gotcha.
What is my posture? Because if it's to go there and do what I do without God, I can do it. But is God in it?
Mm,
is it truly about him or is it about me?
Mm-hmm.
So every time before I take the mic, every time I always say, Holy Spirit, help me.
Okay.
I cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot.
Mm-hmm.
Don't, please, don't leave me.
Yeah.
Because if you do, you know I'm nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Because
like you said, why are they sharing this? Why? It's a simple song. I'm not doing any runs. I'm just singing it simply.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow it's touching hearts and people are sharing that's not me.
No.
That's the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So I know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a knowing where you know that, see, I am nothing
yeah.
without him.
Yes.
And you know, I think that's the issue with the devil, Lucifer. He was gifted. He had every music sound.
It was built in.
So sometimes I listen to people sing, and I know they're not ministering. They're singing. It's a performance. Mm-hmm. They're on the altar, but it's a performance. Yeah. There is no God in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who don't have the best voices, and they sing, you're like,
the
Spirit of God is here.
Yeah.
So skill is an added.
Mm.
It's not the main. The main is your heart. Now, when the heart is right and then the skill, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not the other way around.
It's not the other way around.
It is the heart first. When the heart is right and then the skill on that, then we're good to go.
You said a lot in just what you just said right now. Like, skill is added. It's not the main thing.
It's not the main.
I heard this story of two people in an event. One was a guy with a doctorate, you know, MSc, all the degrees in the world, and he was supposed to come up and recite Psalm 23.
Hmm.
And then he eloquently delivered. Obviously, he had he's a doctor, he's a whatever. And by the time it was done, everybody was on their feet, applause all over the place. Hmm. Oh, man of God, yeah, wow. Everybody was just screaming because he delivered it so eloquently.
Hmm.
And then right after him was this older man, maybe in his 80s or something, very old man, come up to recite the same Psalm 23.
Wow.
And he had not even gotten to the middle of the thing, and people were weeping, people were crying, people were on their face, people were just lost in it. And then when it was done, somebody pulled him to the side, said, "Old man, what was different? Like, there was this guy that came up before you and recited the same psalm, and people were applauding. Nothing really happened, but they enjoyed the gift, the skill, the talent, the snow. But then you came up, you can barely even articulate your words because it's an older man." And he said the statement that changed everything. He said, "The guy knew the psalms. But I know the shepherd.
I know the shepherd."
And that's a difference.
That's
like when you have a relationship with God that's beyond the platform, beyond your gift, there is something on your life that will connect, that even get, it's almost like God gets up and be like, I hear you.
Hmm.
And it's almost like, you know, because
a validation,
we can't, when it comes to worship, you don't attempt to move the room. You move his heart.
Yes.
And then he moves the room.
That's the light.
And that's the way it's meant to be. We're not doing this so that I can move the room. Like when you start putting all these things together because you want to move a room, then you're doing it the wrong way. But worship truly, where we want to be is let's move his heart. Let's touch his heart.
Yes.
Let's bless his heart.
Yes.
And then he now in turn begin to move the room and do whatever he wants to do with the people. And then that becomes a sweet moment that we all just enjoy. So thank you for sharing that.
I always tell my BGVs in church when I was leading them then, I said, if you finish worship, people are sending you great job, nice job. I said, you're failed.
Oh, wow.
No, I said, you're failed.
Yeah.
Because you entertain them.
Mm.
It's not about great job, right? I felt God, the presence of God. If they say that, you've done a good job. So then we had like a WhatsApp chat, and when somebody finished, they said, great job. I said, don't say, if you send great job again on this chat, it's great job.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
That means you have not ministered. It's not about, oh wow, your voice was great. Mm-hmm. Well, no. Mm-hmm. Was there presence? Did he come?
Yeah.
Was the atmosphere saturated?
Yeah.
If that didn't happen, then we didn't do it right.
And I agree with that. And I know you probably get a lot of that too. I get a lot of that too.
People tell me
how great my music is, how whatever it is. And I want to ask, how do you handle those moments? Because some people are just genuine. They're just sincere in the appreciation of you.
I just say thank you.
Okay.
You know, because I appreciate you. People go out of their way to encourage you. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But like I say, it's about the posture of my heart.
Yeah.
So I always guard my heart.
Is you not taking? Yeah.
Sometimes I get to my dad's Holy Spirit. You know that.
It's not me.
It is you.
Okay.
It's you. So I always try to bring my heart back. It's about the motive. It's about where your heart is at.
Mm-hmm.
So I always make sure I bring it back and say, God, thank you for what you've done for me.
Yeah.
You have crowned my effort with your glory.
Yes.
This is not me. This is you. So it's an understanding and a knowing that I keep putting my heart back to that point.
And that's a good posture. So we're not saying you cannot be encouraged, you cannot be, you know, acknowledged for the great work you're doing, but know when to cast those crowns.
Yes.
Just, you know, don't wear it.
Don't
it's too heavy for your head. It's going to crush you.
It's too heavy.
The moment you start to wear that thing, it's going to crush
it's
you.
It's going to crush you.
The best thing you can do is as soon as they give you the crown, cast it.
Yes,
just
sir.
Drop it at his feet.
Yes, sir.
All right. I want to ask you before we start wrapping up right okay. here. I want to ask you about cultures and worship mm-hmm. and the worship ministry in churches.
Yeah.
If there is one thing or two or three that you can see shift in the culture of worship, it could be just locally in Nigeria or in the world that, you know, you feel like, you know what, this we're going, in, maybe this is not going the right way. What would it be? And maybe you can share some light on that.
So there are a few things.
Okay.
So sometimes I hear my instrumentalists play like a worldly syncopation and they infuse it and it upsets me.
Break that table.
Because it speaks of us not being authentic or not being, what's that word? Like, we have the creative gift.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the world doesn't have it.
Yeah, yeah.
But we also have that.
Yeah.
Why don't we create our own stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Create our own sound.
And let them copy us.
Yeah, copy us. You know, or we take the instrumentals and we now put Christian words on it. What are you doing? The spirit of the song is not Christian. So there's not much of Holy Spirit you sing or
no.
blood of Jesus
no.
that you sing on that that's going to change that, right?
Yes, yes.
Because of where it came from, how
mm-hmm.
it was birthed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing I think we need to, honestly, or... Anyway,
say it like I mean.
I'm just it. I've warned them in my own church. I said, see, if I hear don, I will throw my shoe. Or you give me, I will no.
Yeah, yeah,
do
yeah,
not do
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
In fact, it speaks about your Christian life and your walk with
absolutely,
God.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because if that's what is coming out of you, then we have a problem,
yeah, a problem
right?
Yeah.
And I think you know, instrumentalists as well. I think we focus a lot on the voices.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, instrumentalists are literally the foundation of what we sing
mm-hmm,
on.
Mm-hmm.
And spending more time with them, because what we see in Nigeria is they play for everybody.
Mm, yeah, okay.
Because maybe the church cannot fully afford to pay them enough to stay.
So
they have gigs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, 'cause, I mean, services, you have services in the week.
Mm-hmm.
The other days, they're
mm-hmm.
looking for money. So they're playing here,
mm-hmm,
playing there,
mm-hmm,
playing
mm-hmm.
there. So really and truly, it's a job. It's not worship. Right, I'm being paid for this. So I'm doing it because I'm being paid. We need to concentrate more on getting them to understand it more from the worship angle.
Yeah,
yes, you're
yeah,
gifted, we're paying
yeah,
you,
yeah.
but this is worship as well, that every sound, it's a prayer I pray every Saturday, that our song and our sound
mm-hmm.
be filled by the Holy Spirit. So
yeah.
every note,
mm-hmm.
every sound that you play,
yeah.
everything
yeah.
must be from a place of
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So I think that's something we need to focus more on in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is congregational singing. I think there's going to be more shift in Nigeria just hearing voices sing.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do a lot of us to them.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Right? I think it's going to be more them to God.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really see... just voices. I really see just voices singing. Pianos, drums are good, but I think we're coming
yeah.
to a place where he wants to hear their voice.
So it doesn't look more like a performance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because what I see these days is we've gotten so good in our sets.
Mm.
You know, we have worship sets. And in fact, I called one of my guys, I said, see, Abeg, all this jumping back and forth. It's worship we're doing here. We gotta be clear. It's
mm-hmm.
worship, and then also a lot of competition, even in churches.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to have something worship, this
yeah,
music,
yeah.
that,
mm-hmm.
this,
mm-hmm.
which is good
which
because
is good,
we need
yeah.
to go to the nations.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the motive of it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's always about the heart, right?
Yeah.
Why do we want to do this?
Mm-hmm.
To be seen as we have the best, or we have the
mm-hmm.
best voices,
mm-hmm.
we have the best singers,
mm-hmm.
or because we are truly worshiping God.
Mm-hmm.
And also paid singers. There's a lot of things that I'm still trying to figure out.
No, I hear that.
Because back in the day,
because yeah.
I mean, Fountain has been over 30 something years
mm-hmm.
now. So back in the day, people would come and volunteer.
Right.
It's volunteer.
But,
now, if you want somebody to sing for your church, you pay them.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, thank God, at least Fountain, we still have volunteers by the grace
mm-hmm,
of God.
Mm-hmm.
But it's changed. If you want somebody to be dedicated and come for all your services, it's now a job, which I don't have a problem with, but where is the line of
yeah,
this is
yeah.
a job
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
this is for him? You know, I think for
it's
me, that's
very, yeah.
that gray area is
mm-hmm.
what I struggle with.
And it's very hard to balance those two,
it
right?
Is.
Because the heart is very delicate in terms of loyalty. You know, you in like the Bible says that you cannot serve two masters.
You can't.
You either hate one or love the other, yeah, or you despise one. Does that make sense?
So, yeah.
I mean, and I know there's always this conversation about should we be paid, who should get paid, why can musicians be paid? I'm a musician too, so I can talk to this.
Yeah.
And I don't think the issue is should I be paid, should I not be paid. Like, I think it's loyalty of your heart.
Yeah.
It once money takes hold of your heart, God is no longer in charge of your heart.
True.
Truly. Money cannot be the deciding factor for where you go and where you don't go.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot. You've enthroned money on your heart. It's what determines where you go.
Yeah.
The gigs you take, the church you play for.
Mm-hmm.
You're no longer asking God, should I go? It's who pays me, who can pay me the most.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not saying technically something is wrong with being paid or compensated for what you do.
Yeah.
But the question you have to ask yourself is, what is actually leading me?
Mm.
What is driving me?
Yes.
What is making me do this?
Yes.
Would I still say yes to this even if I'm not being paid to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And I know God wants me to do it.
True.
Because that's the question you got to ask yourself. You got to be honest. Like, if God said, go to this place, would you go?
Mm.
Even though you know there is no pay, there is no reward system.
Yep. There's no visibility.
Do you get what I'm trying to say? Right? There's no. They don't even have a platform. Because sometimes all of us are looking for a platform.
Looking for a platform.
Before you accept an invitation, how many followers do they have? How big is their YouTube channel? Because it's almost like you're looking for the platform so that you can platform your gift on their platform.
Yeah.
And you thought, if I can collaborate with that person,
I will get an
Then me too, I will get, I imagine how many followers I'll get from this, right? But so where's the place of being obedient to God, listening to God, asking God, and say, God, what must I do in this case? So for me, the balance has to be striked between, am I being loyal to God, or does money have me?
Mm.
It cannot be both.
It can't be both.
You can't be both. You can't serve two masters.
It can't be both.
You can't say, I love God and I love money.
Mm-hmm. One has to take precedence.
One has to be yeah. I love God.
Yeah.
And God, Bible says that it gives us all things to enjoy.
Yes.
He has blessed us with all spiritual gifts. God, money is a tool.
Money is a tool.
It's not meant to be a God.
All right?
And the other thing I think you touch about is, it's a place of consecration.
Yes.
You know, for me, I think that's a word that's losing its value day by day in the church.
Holiness.
And it's not a very big word. It simply means being set apart.
Yes.
And so when musicians or singers tell me, begin to ask questions, should I listen to this? Should I play this? I'm like, the fact that you're ever asking that question, there's a problem already.
Yeah.
The thing is, are you set apart for God or not?
Hmm.
Is your gift devoted to God or not?
Hmm.
Because if you're consecrated to God, you would not do anything without taking permission from Him.
True.
And like you said, we've allowed the word to infiltrate our worship.
Yeah.
You know, because it sounded good. Oh, that is a good vibe. Once you play this, everybody will start vibing. Then you're no longer worshiping God. You're just vibing.
Yes.
That's all you're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need to be careful as a people who have been entrusted with the ministry of worship and to guard against these things that are creeping into the body of Christ.
Yes.
Because one thing I would, and last thing I would say is, one thing is, we form the theology of the church more than the pastor. Because people would often not remember what you preached.
Of course.
But they remember the song they sang.
They would. They would.
So imagine that responsibility, that weight as a worship leader.
Yes.
That people remember what you sang, but they can't remember what the pastor preached last Sunday.
They can't.
So you actually forming their theology more than the pastor.
Wow. Wow.
Because if you tell them God is whatever, that He is not, they're going to be singing that all week.
Wow. And even songs. I think that's another thing. You know, the songs, I mean, there's some great songs that are coming up today. We give God praise. But there are also some songs that have no depth. Yeah, no, honestly.
Go for it. Yeah, talk about it.
No, talk about it.
You know. You don't have to give examples. I will not give examples. And then you get in trouble for that.
Oh, please, no. But it's just, you know, songs that really just talk about who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And not really what He can do. Because, you know, there's songs about... You know,
I know you're tempted. Yeah.
You're trying to restrain yourself.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. And that's why sometimes I just go back to the old songs.
Yeah, yeah. Just
because the old songs just carry that depth.
Mm.
You know, and I'm glad there are some new songs, by the way, and I give God praise for the birthing of those as well. But just in general, like you said, even the vibing, I like to dance as well. But even in dancing, what is it about? You know, what are we doing? You know, so God will help us.
I mean, David danced with all his might.
Yes.
But he did it unto the Lord.
Thanksgiving to the Lord.
And he didn't even care how he looked when he did it.
Yeah.
And so that's why Micah, his wife, was saying, why are you making a fool of yourself, right? So there's nothing wrong with dancing and all that,
I like
rejoicing and being filled with the joy of the Lord. But we just have to ask ourselves, are we dancing for Him?
Mm-hmm.
Because what I used to tell people is, if you have not worshipped, I mean, let's say we're in a worship service,
yeah,
and we've sang two songs and you didn't sing, you are on your phone pressing Instagram. But then the moment they sang the third song, it's your favorite jam, you drop phone, you lift up your hand. Which of the worship now? I mean, which of the worship?
Oh, do you worship every recording?
You know what I'm trying to say, right? You know, it's like, so, I mean, we've spent like 15 minutes already worshiping, but you are not participating because we have not sung your
song.
The right song. Hmm. But who said it was for you?
Hmm.
We didn't gather here to sing your song. We gather here to minister to Him.
Yes,
so I think there's a lot that we need
That's a lot.
We need to really
God will help us.
Focus on the body of Christ to really begin to make some changes.
Yeah.
As we begin to wrap up. So I know there are people out there who probably look up to you.
Mm.
They've seen your impact in ministry, how you lead worship and the rest, and all the great things that God is doing through your life. And the Bible be like, how can I do this? How can I become like, obviously we're meant to become like Jesus and all that, but we also have people that we're an inspiration to.
Mm.
So, maybe they're in a place right now where they're discouraged. Because the other thing I believe is plaguing our generation is this fast route.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, things got to happen quickly. If it doesn't happen in 1 month,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I do you get what I'm trying to say? I would encourage someone that is maybe they're discouraged right now because maybe they're not seeing the results or the fruit of what they've been called to do yet.
Yeah.
And they just admire the followership, the stage, the light. I'm like, when will I get that? What would you say to that person?
The first thing I'll say is a prayer I always prayed. And I said, God, don't put me out till I'm ready.
Mm.
You see, when you see a fruit that looks like it's ripe and you bite into it and it's not, it's useless.
Yes.
And, you know, and when I started to move up in church and, you know, in worship, and I'll say, God, please, I know it looks like I'm ready, but I'm not ready. But, you know, but Lord, don't expose me.
Mm.
Don't expose me till you know I'm ready.
Yes.
Because if I get there prematurely, I will mess up. And that's not just about the gifting. It's about your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you're set on center stage, everything about you is out there. Right?
Yes.
So there is always a process. If God has called you to your neighborhood, that will be your reach. Stop looking for the nations.
Yes.
Because if you put yourself in the nations,
mm-hmm.
He will not be there with you because that's not where He placed you.
Yeah.
God might be calling you to lead a Catherine Kuma to Christ
mm-hmm.
because Catherine's going to get the world.
Mm-hmm.
So understand what your calling is. But if God has called you for the nations, He will get you to the nations. And one thing I've also realized with God is not looking for the best vessel. He's looking for the most available vessel.
Yes, yes.
Make yourself available to Him and then He will make you. He says, come to me and I will make you.
Yes.
So there's also a making that we all need to go through
mm-hmm.
because once you are out there, the souls of men
mm-hmm.
are going to be touched by you or broken by you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't go to church today because of what their pastors did. That is a big deal.
It is.
It's a and a lot of people, I don't know, my counselor, and that's, mm-hmm. it will take God.
You're right.
So it's a few things. If God has called you, take your time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a Joseph journey, there's an Esther journey.
Yes, yes.
They're two, they got there, sense, but
yeah, we took
very, very different, different paths, right? Mm-hmm. Joseph took the long route. It was mm-hmm. hard, it was difficult,
mm-hmm.
but he got there.
Mm-hmm.
Esther's wasn't as bad,
mm-hmm.
but then there came a time where she had to put her life on the line, and she did.
And she still went through a season of preparation.
There is always mm-hmm. a season of preparation.
Mm-hmm.
So trust God, trust His process.
Mm-hmm.
And when God brings you out, He will back you up. But if you bring yourself out, you are by yourself.
Mm.
And human beings, like they say, Hosanna, Hosanna,
crucify.
If people put you there, they will take you down.
Yes.
But if God places you there, nothing and no one. So take your time, trust the process, make yourself available,
mm-hmm.
because when it's time, nothing and no one will stop it.
Yes.
Be
okay with God's timing.
Be okay with
God's timing. Relax.
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 The harvest is plenty. Laborers are few.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Yeah.
It will use you. I mean, to be honest with you, like sometimes I feel like, and I think recently I've been feeling the weight and the heaviness and the responsibility of the things God has asked me to do.
Yeah.
And I would jokingly tell my friends, like, why did I ask God to use me? Like, literally.
Me too. I would say that when I was like, Lord, use me. I'm like, why did I pray this prayer?
Why? You know, because God kind of took me on that offer. I'm like, I was just kidding, man.
I was kidding. I didn't think he was going to use me like this.
I was just a play. Why are you taking me seriously?
Oh my
I was just
God.
A child. I would just say, use me, Lord.
Me
and then you just took
me
seriously.
God. Same thing happened to me.
And we're saying this
and
because...
And it took me seriously.
And that's the thing. It's a lot.
It's a lot. The responsibility is a lot.
And the thing about light is once you're in the spotlight, everything shows.
Everything shows.
So it's better right now that you are hidden.
Yes.
Better that you're not being seen. It's better that God is hiding you.
Yes.
And one of the ways by which God protects us is to hide us.
It's to hide us.
So don't put yourself out there if he has not put you there. Like she said, if you put yourself out there, you're on your own.
You're on your own.
You have no backing. You will just appear suddenly and disappear suddenly. but it's
God
best to actually let God put you out there. Because when he has formed your character and built you up, then when you stand, you are not standing on your own. You are representing him.
Glory.
And then he is responsible to making sure that everything that you do prospers and he covers you.
He covers
that's what
you.
Your protection
he
is. Yeah, that's what your grace is. And and so we just want to encourage you, don't give up.
Don't give up.
Keep doing what you're doing, even if no one is seeing you right now.
Yes.
David was in the backside. Nobody saw him.
Nobody
he was killing
him.
The bears and the lions and just fighting. But the day came when he had to fight Goliath.
Yes.
But he had been prepared for such a time as it. Same thing as Esther.
Yes.
She was prepared before she could appear
There's
before
a preparation.
The king.
There's
so
a preparation.
Don't ignore preparation.
Don't.
Well, it's been a great time chatting with you.
Same
I know
here.
I could sit here and chat with you all day.
Because
there
same,
is so much.
Same.
Like you said, there's so much kindred spirit. There's so much we could talk about.
Yes,
but for the second time, we're going to have to end it there. But I just want to say a heartfelt thank you.
My pleasure.
For saying yes. Thank you for coming on board and just saying, you know what? I'm going to talk to this stranger. I'm just going to take the risk. And I really hope it was worth it.
It was worth it.
Really
it
really meant so
really
much
amazing.
That you would say yes.
Thank you for having
and
me.
And so thank you for coming on board.
Thank you for
and
having
maybe
me.
Maybe we'll do this again at another time
By
when I do decide to visit Nigeria.
It'll be
so
good.
I'm looking forward to it. And to Same everyone at home, thank you for watching. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining this broadcast. I really hope you've learned one or two things. And, you know, and if you are blessed, please make sure you share with someone else. Subscribe, like, you know, whatever you got to do. Get the words out. Let somebody else be blessed by this.
Amen.
And until next time, I remain your host, Daffy Tikis. And I will see you again on the next episode of the Worship World podcast. Keep growing, keep learning, and keep developing yourself. And at the right time, God will show you to the world.
Amen.
He will show his glory through your life. And
Amen.
See you soon. God bless you. Bye-bye.